Welcome to episode 9 of the BCF.org Tech Talk. I'm Brian Fisher. In this episode, we speak with actual customers who use pneumatic cylinders and electric actuators to get their perspective on various applications. This podcast series focuses on the various subjects and topics to help you choose the right industrial automation solution for your application. Each episode is approximately 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can listen while commuting. It's targeted to engineers and project managers. In the previous episodes, we've covered introduction to electric actuators versus pneumatic cylinders, industry direction, cost of ownership, unexpected downtime, the many advantages of electrical actuators, linear motors made simple, frequent maintenance, and pneumatic cylinders and the environment. Pneumatic cylinders have been around for a long time and will continue to be used in various applications, and there are applications better suited to a pneumatic cylinder. However, more and more applications are being solved with electric actuators, especially electric tubular actuators. It's time to hear from actual users of the two technologies to get their perspective. We reached out to Tom Thompson, Senior Staff Electrical Engineer of Georgia Pacific from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Kyle Knudsen, VP of Technology of Prospection Solutions from the Kansas City area. I wanted you to hear their experiences of using pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators. First, I spoke with Tom Thompson. Tom, welcome to the BCF.org Tech Talk podcast and discussing pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining, Tom. Tom, what's your experience in using pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators?
Well, I'm an end user of both technologies in the manufacturing environment, and we've used pneumatic cylinders ever since the start of my career, probably over 25 years ago. And what I've seen is pneumatics will react differently to different air pressures on different equipment. And what we see is as other equipment in our environment are using air, it may affect a different piece of equipment because we have air pressure drops occasionally. What we've seen is the pneumatic actuators are not as repeatable as the electric actuators can bind up over time. If they get a little bit bent, they can bind up, and they can also trap energy, which can also be a safety concern for the user. They seem to be a little bit more noisy and uncontrolled. So when you activate the pneumatics on a piece of equipment, it's going to go until it hits a stop, and it's a little bit more uncontrolled. I mean, electric actuators, they're definitely safer. They have a smoother profile. We haven't seen them bind up as of yet. They're definitely repeatable, which equates to less jams. And in the end, it's really less operator interventions. And that's really what we're after is we want the equipment to just run and not have interventions by operators going in and clearing a jam, which is just going to cause issues on the line. So that's probably our biggest advantage of using the electric actuators. We see less failures with them. Like I said, you can put a profile on them so that they're more smooth of a move, of a controlled move. And they have better diagnostics as well. You can see the temperature of the actuator, and you know the position of where it's at all times. So you can sense a jam a lot easier as well.
Well, what research do you recommend engineers use before selecting a certain technology for their application?
I guess the biggest thing I would do is consider the saved production that you'll get using an electric actuator. You'll have less downtime because they're repeatable. And then also take a look at the lifetime cost of each technology. Air is not cheap and costs money to have that compressed air coming to your equipment. One other thing is going to be easier lockout on your equipment. There's no air to lock out. It's just one lockout to lock out that equipment.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add, Tom?
I guess the only other thing is we've had good experience with the electric actuators. I'm glad we're using them. They're quieter. Like I said, they've been proven to increase our uptime on our equipment. and we have less operator interventions, which is our biggest advantage using them.
Well, great. Well, Tom, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yep. Thank you, Brian.
Next, I reached out to Kyle Knudsen of Prospection Solutions. Kyle, welcome to the BCF ORG Tech Talk podcast and discussing pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators.
Thank you, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us today. Kyle, what's your experience in using pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators?
So I work for an OEM that makes inspection systems in the food industry. We're using both electric tubular actuators and pneumatic actuators throughout the industry. The industry is a little unique because the washdown requirements involved. We primarily use pneumatic actuators for high speed, low weight package rejection, and we're using electric tubular actuators for a series of retractable nose conveyors that we manufacture and install in the field.
And what's been your experience on the reliability of each of the technologies?
It varies a little bit. There are challenges with the pneumatic actuators as far as the reliability of the air supply going to the actuators. We find frequently we have some challenges with ensuring that the air is the right pressure and that is actually turned on in some situations. We've had a lot of success with the electric tubular actuators, especially when factors like the washdown is taken care of and the cable movement, in our case, is managed correctly.
What research do you recommend engineers use before selecting a certain technology for their application?
Personally, I think one of the first things to look at is cost. Can the project support an electric tubular actuator? They tend to be a little more pricey than pneumatic actuators, so that may rule them out initially. Beyond that, though, there's a lot of advantages they provide. Position monitoring and error reporting requirements may make them a big advantage. Utility availability is a big thing. If the air in the facility is not reliable, that's something you'd want to look at, as well as if you're using, say, like we are, a 480 volt electric tubular actuator, you want to make sure that utility is available. IP protection requirements is a big thing. So we're using a washdown version of an electric tubular actuator. And different things like motion smoothing. So do you need a smooth acceleration and decel during your move? Do you need to validate that the move happened correctly? Do you need flexibility in your move? For example, when we use the pneumatic actuators, we're moving from the beginning of the stroke to the end of the stroke. In some situations, we want to stop halfway through a move, and that's more challenging in those cases. And that brings me to the motion interrupts. If you are needing to interrupt the move, the electric tubular actuators provide a lot of advantages in that case.
Well, is there anything I haven't asked that you'd like to add?
I think that that covers most of it there. I think that there's a lot of advantages, and I think the main challenge would be the cost when looking at an electric tubular actuator. There are a wide variety of options, but I know when we get into the high load washdown motors that we are using in the field, that is a big factor. So I'd say that's something to look at.
Kyle, thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem. Happy to be here and look forward to listening to the podcast once released.
Well, there you have it. What actual users of pneumatic cylinders and electric tubular actuators have to say about their experiences. As you've heard, most engineers will find that clean, safe, quiet, flexible, and economical electrical linear actuators are a better choice for most applications. My thanks to Linmont for sponsoring this episode. Linmont, the linear motion technology leader. Visit Linmont at linmont.com. That's LINMOT.com. This podcast is on several directories. In search, type BCF ORG TECH. Be sure to leave a space between BCF, ORG, and TECH. Click on subscribe or follow to automatically be notified of future episodes. And feel free to share this podcast with people who you think may benefit. A strong rating of these podcasts would be appreciated. In our next episode, 10, we'll summarize what we've learned over the previous 9 episodes on the advantages and disadvantages of using pneumatic cylinders and electric actuators. If you'd like to reach out to me with any questions, ideas, or potentially be a guest, like Tom and Kyle, please go to bcforg.com. There's a red Contact Us button in the middle of the homepage. A LinkedIn symbol is on the upper right. Click on that if you'd like to see my profile. These podcasts will be released monthly. From BCF ORG Corp., I'm Brian Fisher, wishing you the best. Thanks.